Okay, we'll recap a few things here, and I just cover some of the basics of diet, because even though some of this may be familiar to a lot of people who looked into it, when you get to know various people, you see that not too many people pay a lot of attention to eating good food that's really nutritious for them. And a lot of people that know better, you know, break their own rules way, way too much. You know, we're all guilty of that to some degree. Matter of fact, Timothy Ferris came up with an interesting healthy diet. He wrote a book called The 4-Hour Work Week. I thought that was a good idea, so I bought that book. And then he came up with another book called The 4-Hour Diet. Kind of a spin off of his other. But anyway, he come up with a diet, and then he says one day a week, just eat anything you want. He says the trouble with any type of diet that constricts you in any way is you always wind up going off it. And once you go off it a little bit, you think, well, heck, I already blew it, so I might as well blow it some more, you know. So he says to kind of cope with our human weakness, he says, if you just eat whatever you want, no matter how bad the food is, no matter how much starch is in it, no matter how many calories, just go crazy if you feel like it. And you only do it once a week, he says your body can handle it and you won't be any worse for it. But you can only do it once a week. So his idea is just go crazy once a week and then put yourself on your optimum diet the other 6 days. And he says it won't be quite so hard, because as you're moving ahead through those 6 days, you can look forward to the seventh day where you can go crazy. One thing I like about Timothy Ferris, he's a little bit like me. He's a night owl. And he says he drinks a couple glasses of wine every evening. He says it doesn't seem to do him any harm. So he says he doesn't notice any negative effect from that, as long as it's in moderation. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting idea. I won't go into his particular diet, but I kind of like that idea of giving yourself a little bit of a out once a week. Now, if you're on a diet, on the other hand, if you're on a diet where you really like your foods on your diet, then you don't have to go crazy once a week. Because actually, the food that's really good is the most satisfying once you get acclimatized to them. I grew up on probably the worst diet you can imagine. My parents were not health-minded at all. Matter of fact, they were both of them border alcoholics. As I was growing up, I used to have to go uptown, and I would bring my little sister with me, and we'd go uptown to the bars until we would find our parents, and then we'd plead with them to come home. All the people there at the bar thought it was amusing to have a couple little kids there, so they had us dance for them and entertain them, and they would give me money, and I'd get a dime here and a dime there, and drink a beer here and drink a beer there. And on hindsight, it's amazing. I don't think that could happen today with, you know, as strict as they are with kids and alcohol and everything. But, you know, I drank almost every night when I was 8 years old.
That explains a lot, Jim.
Yeah, right. Probably does. So my parents, you know, didn't pay a lot of attention to me. My mom was a really good, conscientious person, except when she thought she was marrying a real religious guy, and after they got married and it was time to go to church, my mom says, well, Ted, let's go to church. And he says, well, I've been drugged to church all my life, and now I'm married and away from my parents. He says, I'm putting down the law. I'm never going to darken the door of church again, and I'm going to do what I want. And he became near alcoholic after that, you know. And so my mom was faced, he would go out drinking regularly, and so my mom was faced with the idea, well, do I go drink with him or do I stay home and worry about him? And so she wound up going out with him. And she almost became alcoholic herself. So we didn't get a lot of attention when me and my little sister were kids. And so I did most of the cooking for us. My favorite thing to eat was cinnamon toast made of white bread with oleum margarine and white sugar and then cinnamon on top. And actually, the cinnamon was actually fairly healthy. It was the only healthy thing in there. And so I ate I knew how to make that from the time I was just a little kid. So if there wasn't anything to eat, we'd make that. We'd also eat bread and milk. Just white bread and milk, you know, and beans on toast sometimes and things like that. But we didn't have anything very fancy. My mom would make some really good fried chicken when she was available to cook. And I remember one funny time, I was in about the first or second grade. My parents were out partying, and me and my sister were hungry. They didn't leave us anything to eat. And my sister, who was 4 years younger, and he come to me and says, "Well, I'm hungry. Make us something to eat." I thought, well, looked around. The only thing I could find, there was a chicken in the refrigerator, raw chicken. And I thought, well, I watched my mom cook chicken a number of times, so I'll try to do what she did, and I'll see if I can cook us a chicken that mounts anything. So anyway, I cooked it up the best I could, and me and my sister sat down, and it tasted awful. We thought, oh, boy, this is a terrible chicken. And so we went to bed. And after we went to bed, I heard my parents come in, and they had a half a dozen people with them all ready to party, you know. And they says, and I heard them say, wow, there's some chicken there for us. And they all ate that chicken. And everybody said it was the best chicken they ever ate. They never ate any chicken that tasted that good in their life. And my parents and their friends were bragged about that chicken for years after that. I think it was kind of raw, actually. I don't think I cooked it very much. But I think these guys were so drunk that even the raw chicken must have tasted good. So anyway, I grew up on a pretty bad diet, and I kind of always felt kind of weird, you know. And I could, I know the reason now is because of my blood sugar, because I ate a lot of sweets. I remember back in high school, I ate like peanut butter and honey sandwiches, and then I would go to Albertsons and read comic books and eat maple bars, and I'd eat about 3, 4, maybe 5 maple bars, you know. And the maple bars that when I was in high school back in the 60s that Albertsons made were about 100 times better than any maple bar that you can buy anywhere today. I mean, they were delicious. And I'd eat a bunch of these. But I ate so much sugar, and I know that's why I kind of felt weird all the time. And I had a weird sense that something was wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And, you know, doctors didn't know what's going on in those days. Yeah, that didn't go away until I went to college. And I was in the church library, and there was this book on the Word of Wisdom and the advantages of eating whole wheat bread and not eating white sugar. And I read that book, and I thought, you know, I've tried whole wheat bread before, and I didn't like it at the time. But after I read that book, I decided I'm going to switch over. I'm going to not eat white sugar and eat whole wheat bread. And within about 2 weeks of making that switch, that weird feeling I had just went away. You know, all of a sudden, you know, I felt like I was half in this world and half out of it half the time. And that's the way, you know, disturbance in your blood pressure just makes you just feel kind of weird, like something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. You can't put your finger on it. But anyway, I'm sure that normalized my blood sugar by making those two changes. Whole wheat bread, no sugar, yeah. I switched over to used honey instead. And either honey or no sugar at all. If I'm eating no sugar in a lot of things, after you got used to it, was actually tasted better. You know, they put, when you buy dried fruit, almost all the dried fruit you buy has sugar added. Now, if you eat dried fruit with no sugar added, and the fruit was good to begin with, it tastes a lot better with no sugar added than the sugar added ones. And the thing that surprises me most about this age is when I first started getting interested in health foods, I thought, you know, it'd be interesting about maybe 20, 30, 40 years from now, the whole world's going to be converted to good food, you would think, you know. Now all this time has passed, things have hardly changed at all, you know. Yeah, it's got worse. People are into worse foods than they are instead of sugar. Now, regular sugar is almost a health food today. And the bad sugar is corn syrup. Yeah, corn syrup. And since they switched over to corn syrup, the diabetes has gone through the roof and other diseases. And, of course, they try not, the authorities try not to make any connection to that. But most people who have looked into it have the belief that the switch over to corn syrup has caused this tremendous rise in diabetes. Because there's been a tremendous rise in it over the past 20, 30 years since they've been using corn syrup and everything. But it just bugs me when I go to these bulk bins and they have good-looking dried fruit and look at the ingredients and they have corn syrup and blueberries. No, I just want blueberries. I don't want corn syrup and blueberries. And you can't find any of it except in the health food store. And when you do find it with no sugar added, it's cost three times as much, which is kind of weird. You know, you think, well, why does it cost three times as much to have something with no sugar added? Also, with whole wheat bread, why does whole wheat bread cost three times as much as white bread when they don't have to go through the big refining process? You know, it's just kind of strange, the pricing of everything. But the less work they put into making something, the more it seems to cost.